Hey guys, it's Daxton.
And Hayden from Blondies Out Loud.
And if you've ever thought about starting a podcast or making money from one,
we use Creator Lab from Odyssey for our show, and it's honestly been so easy.
It's free hosting, and it gives you a really simple way to earn on top of whatever you're already doing.
Which, of course, we love because it just adds another stream without the extra work.
So, if you're a creator or podcast curious,
check it out at creators.odyssey.com.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Hey, Andre. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Dawn. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. So take me through, you know, we've heard, you and I have talked so many times about in Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania vote as far as why so many people here. And this is a huge issue in Pennsylvania when you think about land rights, when you think about the jobs. But when you hear this news of what the Biden administration is doing just today, as far as, you know, this issue, what do you see and how much of an impact do you really think that it has on the incoming, soon to be incoming in 2 weeks, Trump administration?
Right. Well, I mean, honestly, I mean, should anyone be surprised? I mean, what a ridiculous thing to do out the door. And, you know, I mean, President Biden saying he wants this to be a part of his, you know, or whoever's putting out statements for him these days, that they want it to be, you know, part of his climate change legacy. The truth is, I mean, this is it's not a climate change legacy. I mean, this is a legacy of higher costs for everyone and virtue signaling that at the end of the day harms the middle class, harms lower income Americans, and fundamentally harms America's ability to be energy independent and have energy security. So what the actual impact? So, I mean, real quick, what President Biden has done in the last days of his administration is he's banned new offshore oil and gas drilling. And this is obviously an attempt to try to make a dent in President Trump's promise. What he got elected on, certainly what people in Pennsylvania supported, was American energy dominance. They want American energy security. We want to be able to have affordable, reliable, and secure energy. That was the resounding victory that we saw. This was what polling time and time and again had showed. And now President Biden is trying to have a dent in that. What the actual impact will be is yet to be determined. I mean, I've been doing some analysis this morning and over the weekend when we were hearing that this might be coming. So it's unclear exactly what this would do to actual production, but this is more about, again, it's a virtue signal. And the reason I think they're doing this is because a lot of the Biden regulations, things that you and I have talked in the past about, Dawn, like the EPA power plant rule and a lot of these other really draconian, really crazy environmental regulations that are just going to raise energy costs for everybody. A lot of these regulations, President Trump can reverse on day one. What's unique about this one is because this is a part of, essentially, it's a legacy legal issue with U.S. waters because of the conditions of what offshore drilling would do. So this is one of those things that President Trump really can't reverse with the stroke of a pen. This reversal of what Biden did today is going to require an act of Congress. Now, of course, Republicans control Congress, so certainly this needs to be a top priority for the U.S. House and the U.S. Senate to reverse this order and work with the Trump administration, work with incoming Energy Secretary Chris Wright to correct the course on this so that we can unleash American energy dominance. So I'm not sure how much of an impact this really would be, but it's certainly something that the new administration and the new Congress could correct in the early days of this year.
So apparently Trump this morning was on Hugh Hewitt's show earlier this morning, or it was pre-taped or whatever, where he said he would undo it or unban it immediately, saying it was
that audio if you want
ridiculous.
It.
Okay, let's listen. Thanks, Dan.
Mm-hmm. Got to get things done. We don't get them done. I see it just came over that Biden has banned all oil and gas drilling across 625 million acres of U.S. coastal territory. It's ridiculous. I'll unban it immediately. I will unban it. I have the right to unban it immediately. What's he doing? Why is he doing it? You know, we have something that nobody else has. I mean, nobody has to the extent we have it, and it'll be more by the time we finish because I'll be able to expand. You know, we're going to expand our country, and it'll be more. We have oil and gas, and whether you manufacture widgets or gadgets or whatever you happen to be doing. Some countries have to work very hard to do that. We do too, and we will. But we have oil and gas at a level that nobody else has, and we're going to take advantage of it. And when I see somebody saying he's going to ban 625 million acres, he doesn't know what that is. He doesn't even know what 625 million acres would look like. And we can't let that happen to our country. It's our greatest, it's really our greatest economic asset. And we're not going to let that happen to our country.
I swear I did not give my cold to the president-elect. It sounds like everybody has this cold, I swear. But you just alluded to this, Andre Béliveau, and you're such a policy expert on many issues, but energy especially. So Trump, does he need, can he undo a piece of it, but does he need an act of Congress to completely undo what Biden has done today?
Right. I mean, there's plenty of things that the Biden administration have done that President Trump absolutely has the executive authority to overrule. This one might not be one of those. Again, I think you might see some legal challenges in the court. There might have been some changes with how agencies operate because of the reversal of Chevron doctrine. But traditionally, because of this, these legacy laws that have to deal with U.S. territorial waters and particularly with drilling offshore, this is probably going to take an act of Congress. Again, and because Republicans have control of both chambers of Congress, I think that will be easier to reverse. And I'm sure that President Trump's administration will be working with Congress to ensure that this is reversed. But it's unclear exactly because of these, some things that have changed in the courts, if he can do it immediately. But certainly all of the pieces of government are in place with the current control of the executive branch. And, of course, now with the federal legislature, the pieces are in place to reverse this. I think it's just a matter of how long that will take.
And I have to ask the next question because over the holiday, we did, our water heater went out. And so shout out to Marvin E. Cans, who the guys came. It was like days before Christmas, and they're putting in new water heaters. But there was a headline that Biden will, exact new bans on certain types of water tanks and water heaters, and then who that would impact, presumably people mm-hmm. who might live in smaller spaces, maybe senior citizens, that sort of thing, or lower income folks. What do you make of that so-called water heater ban?
We've heard this story before, right? Mm-hmm. It's the gas water heater ban now. Before it was gas stoves. Fundamentally at the bottom of this, this harms the middle class. This harms low income Americans. This is not about climate change. This is really about targeted degrowth. It's about targeted deindustrialization, whether it's in people's homes, raising the cost of living, or whether it's our reliable power plants that they want to take offline. This has very little to do with the environment. The environment is good window dressing for some really radical Marxist economic policies and cultural and social civic policies that they put in place, and they're just using all of these energy and so-called climate policies to enact some pretty radical stuff. Again, I think people should have energy choice. You should be able to have the freedom of choice of what are going to be the right appliances for my home. What's going to be my affordable option? If somebody wants electric water heaters, if someone wants to put rooftop solar on their house, they should be allowed to do that. But it shouldn't be subsidized. We shouldn't be subsidizing rich people's solar panels on their house. And we certainly shouldn't be subsidizing all of these kinds of crazy things that are just going to raise costs for everybody. People need economic choice and the freedom to do these things. Like we talked about, Dawn, a lot of these things at the state level, especially in Pennsylvania, we need our lawmakers in Harrisburg to be working on some serious permitting reform. Yeah. We need our lawmakers to be doing some, pullbacks on our regulatory state to give people more economic freedom and more choice. And when you talk about things like, banning natural gas water heaters or natural gas stoves, that's just removing choice from people for some pretty arbitrary reasons. But the real impact of that is going to be higher electric bills, higher energy costs, higher fuel costs. And that was rejected at the ballot box. So I think it shouldn't be shocking to anyone that this is happening in the last days of the administration, but I think people should feel a sense of promise coming that there are, there are people in place now who hopefully will be putting forward the correct policies to make including energy, but our everyday lives more affordable.
Yeah, and when this latest story about this, about the gas-powered, you know, the water heaters, when it broke, there were a lot of people, again, to your point, bipartisan, people from all walks of life talking about from across the country, just mentioning things as far as, you know, they have people out west, let's say, and they have water shortages, or if they have a storm. You think about the South recently with the storms, and if you have an actual water tank, you have safe water. It gives you a reserve, as opposed to those tankless kind of water heaters. There were a lot of, you know, people who were very thoughtful. For me, as a mom of teenage boys, I would say, I just want something where I can shut it off. You know what I mean? Where I could just like push a button. My dad used to go down to my sister, and he would like by hand. He would manually turn off the hot water when she was in the shower. He would time us, you know. But I wish they had it on an app where you could just shut it off when that teenager is in there for, you know what I mean? They're in there like 45 minutes. It's like enough already.
Yeah.
The definition of local control. I want to, Andre Beliveau's.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
As we continue the conversation, you know, just other topics. I'd reported earlier today the breaking news story that we had seen that the Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau is expected. He has announced now that he will step down. Is this something that we will see? I know this week, for example, you know, we've talked a lot about Italy's prime minister, for example. She was just at Mar-a-Lago. Is this something that we see sweeping, not just in America, but worldwide, sort of a pushing a reset button, if you will, and thinking about leadership that's true leadership, that is not, I don't know, pandering to the left, to these nutty, crazy, out-of-whack policies?
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a growing trend. I mean, obviously, our election in the United States is reflective of that. What's happening, it seems, in Canada right now with Prime Minister Trudeau. A lot of the Green parties in the previous European elections last year saw, you know, complete repudiation. So there is this sliding to the right, or I would just say a sliding towards common sense. I think a lot of people are waking up to really these outlandish progressive policies, whether they're extreme environmental policies that are raising people's costs, whether these are, you know, policies that people are seeing in their everyday lives and in culture and in their civic engagements in lives. I think people are really just waking up to progressive excess. And people, I think, just want to come back to a reasonable, moderate middle. I think that's where most people are, not just in the United States, but even across the country. And I think what people have been labeling as, you know, right wing or radical right wing, I think at the end of the day are what most people feel as just this, you know, what we want: more freedom, we want more liberty, we want more choice, you know, we want less regulation. And I think people are really waking up to this. And I think, yeah, absolutely. I think what we're seeing potentially now in Canada might be part of this growing trend that we're seeing not just across North America, but I think we've also seen in Europe as well.
Yeah, true story. Dan has the audio, and this was earlier this morning, but this is Justin Trudeau making the announcement.
Over the holidays, I've also had a chance to reflect and have had long talks with my family about our future. Throughout the course of my career, any success I have personally achieved has been because of their support and with their encouragement. So last night over dinner, I told my kids about the decision that I'm sharing with you today. I intend to resign as party leader, as prime minister, after the party selects its next leader through a robust, nationwide, competitive process.
Okay, I already regret taking that audio, but just your response. he's just so, I mean, first of all, I discussed with my kids, but, you know.
Over dinner.
Yeah. Right.
Your dinner time conversation last night.
Dude, you're a loser. But okay, Andre, your analysis.
Yeah, I mean, unsurprising. And he's going, I mean, and Trudeau, you know, his counterpart right now, the leader of the Conservative Party in Canada, Pierre Poilievre, is. I mean, he's sort of a typical, you know, in America, we consider him sort of a center-right, like libertarian-esque conservative. He's a free market guy. He wants to deregulate. I mean, Trudeau's just, I mean, he's a progressive liberal through and through, and I think he sees the writing on the wall. So I think no amount of poutine that you could eat at the dinner table is going to change the political. And as someone of French Canadian descent, I can say that. I think he sees the political writing on the wall. And again, John, I think this is a trend that we're seeing. It's not so much a rightward leaning trend as I would say it's common sense. Mm-hmm. People understand that overregulation and these progressive policies that have been shoved down people's throats across the globe for too long, people are waking up and saying, hey, maybe this is actually a little too much. And I think people understand the fundamental truths that we knew. And in the past that have, you know, from, you know, even like from the legacy of Ronald Reagan, free markets, deregulation, giving power to consumers, power to people, less taxes, more robust business, allowing people the freedom to make these choices. People want that. That feels good. And I think at the end of the day, people, you know, in the West, in the United States in particular, that is a deep part of our DNA, is that belief in freedom and liberty and, you know, individual freedom and economic freedom. And again, I think this is a growing trend we're seeing. And progressives, I think this certainly the last couple months has been a wake up call for a lot of their policies.
Yeah, Andre, do you think, I mean, I know a lot of this is the economy and inflation, but also immigration. I mean, I think that is another issue in Canada, the same as in America, the same as in across Europe, these open border type policies. Do you think it's more the economy, but do you also believe that it's Trudeau's immigration policies?
Yeah, I mean, Prime Minister Trudeau, I think, he's governed very similarly to how President Biden has mm-hmm. governed. So I think these same sort of issues, whether it's the economy, whether it is immigration, I think all the, you know, the cost of living and inflation, all of these things are certainly connected. And like I've commented in the past, you know, we can get really technical about, you know, energy policy and about all these different regulations. But at the end of the day, it is, you know, it all comes down to what's hitting people, you know, the actual kitchen table issues, mm-hmm. the pocketbook and wallet issues, and what is the cost of living, and, you know, what sort of environment do I want to raise my family in? I think all of these things are absolutely connected. You really can't separate any of these things. But I would say that the same sort of policy landscape that we saw under Biden-Harris certainly, I think, is reflective very similarly north of the border in Canada.
Andre, someone who's so familiar with Canada and natural resources, as you're an expert in, I just want you to underline the like Trump's pushing this whole governor idea to Canada, them becoming a new state. But we all know you laugh at it, and, you know, it's kind of a joke, but it all stems from, you know, NAFTA and the trade agreements and such. And looking at the numbers, Canada has 10.4% of the world share of oil. That's number three in the world. When we're talking about diamonds, they're number three in the world as well. They have natural resources out the wazoo. They're not some podunk country, and they don't contribute mm-hmm. on the level that they should be. So I just wanted to speak to the amount of natural resources that are in the ground there up in Canada.
Absolutely. Well, we always like to say, right, Pennsylvania is the Saudi Arabia of North America. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have enough natural gas. You know, the beautiful liquid gold, as President Trump likes to say, we have plenty of that in Pennsylvania, and certainly they are in large supply in Canada. And I mean, this is something that I think the Trump administration and federal regulators should really be looking at, is what can we do to build those relationships with Canada? What other partnerships can we make in North America to really develop the oil and gas industry in a way? Because I mean, really, we need it, not just here in the United States, but the grid across North America. We are going to need reliable oil and natural gas. So I think looking at trade agreements, I'm sure political changes in Canada will be more favorable to something like President Trump's energy dominance agenda. These are certainly things we should be concerned about and looking at as Americans as well. And I know plenty of Canadians would agree. I mean, certainly the oil and natural gas that we have here in the United States, and that would certainly be produced in Canada, would be far more affordable and certainly far more cleaner than anything anyone in Europe was going to get from Russia or Venezuela. So to be quite frank, I mean, the geopolitical allies of the United States and Canada in Europe need North American oil and gas, not only continue having a, you know, clean air, clean water, but to have reliable energy. So certainly I think across the United States and even Canada, I think you're going to see policy trends moving in a better direction for a more reliable and affordable energy industry. And that's certainly going to include oil and gas. It has to.
And USMCA, in other words, the US-Mexico-Canada trade agreement, being popular in Canada?
I can't speak to its popularity, but I certainly think policies that are going to boost the economies of all of these countries, policies that are obviously going to deliver on a energy dominance agenda. And I think we're going to start. I think, you know, the time of overregulation, and I think the time of sort of government controlled industrial policy is starting to flee. And I think we're going to see much more deregulation, more robust free markets, certainly here at home in the United States, but I think even across the West, and that would certainly include Canada.
Yeah. Andre Beliveau, until next time, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Don. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Andre. Take care.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Banner civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.